Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. We talk all things strength, coaching, fitness, nutrition, powerlifting, strongman. If it involves a barbell, we're going to talk about it. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Down in the show notes, he's got his email. Dave and the team at Optimum Nutrition Athletics are absolutely amazing. They'll get everything that you need. I use their products every single day. I use the Gold Standard 100% whey for my post-workouts, if I need something quick for protein on the go throughout the day. And also, if I need to grab a snack, I'll just grab one of the almonds, some of the cake bites, and then also the crisps. Absolutely love the crisps and the almonds. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, and thank you for being our sponsor. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I am very excited to have the powerful Jamal Jones of Marquette University, sports performance coach, fellow Kansas. It's pretty cool to be able to connect with Jamal. And we were talking barbecue, high school memories and stuff like that on here. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just excited to be on the pod with you.
Absolutely. Definitely somebody I zeroed in on not too long ago. I'm like, I got to get this guy on here. I can't imagine how good his story is going to be and just what he does training athletes and stuff like that, man. So, like I said, feelings mutual. Excited to have somebody else here to chat and stuff like that. So obviously you gave me a little bit of brief nuggets on your story and how you got into strength and conditioning. I love everybody's story, man. So what's the story?
So when I first got into college and I was trying to figure out like what my major, what my career was going to be, I kind of zoned in on athletic training at first because like I had some injuries growing up, like in high school, and I break my ankle my senior year. I kind of affected scholarships and then got to college running track. I strained my hamstring and I was like, all right, I want to figure out why this is. Like being in the training room was no fun. Maybe if I get in there, I can help out athletes in the way that, you know, I needed it or that I was helped. But then I took like my first like real athletic training class and was doing a lot of taping ankles and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, I don't like feet. So this ain't for me. And decided to go and, do the exercise science route and try to get into the coaching. And I interned with the head strength coach at William Woods, Coach Jones. He was really like open just to have me in there and help out. He basically like gave me the real, like how long his days were and like the fact that he'd been doing it for 20 years and he's basically working by himself when he first got to Woods. And I was like, all right, well, you got me sold. Like, I want to do this. Like, it sounds like it's going to be tough, but like, I want to do this. This seems more like up my alley.
Yeah.
And then doing several different internship spots at Maryville and then at MSU Denver. And then finally getting a GA position down at UMary. And I obviously ended up here, but just the real reason that I wanted to get into strength and conditioning was because of my injuries and me just like searching for an answer to make sure like this didn't happen again. And then once it got outside of me, it was more so like, all right, I'm going to try to help out college athletes as far as getting them stronger, but also educating them on how important it is to take care of their bodies and how they can really control what happens to them in the field of play. So
I love that you talked about educating them. I think that is one of the biggest arts that it comes to being a coach and everything like that. You kind of alluded to it. What made you kind of, I mean, obviously you said the injury side of it, but did you kind of always know you wanted to be a coach? I think that's a lot of the driving force for me was like, I wanted to just be around sports to be a coach. I thought that was the best thing. But what made you kind of want to be a coach?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. Like, I just enjoy sports. It's been a part of my life, basically, I don't know, since I was 10. So, like, I wanted to stay within it. There was a point in time I was like, I want to be a track coach. Like, I ran track. I was like, no, I don't. No, I don't. rather be a strength coach. Being in the weight room was a lot more fun, and I actually feel like I'm actually being myself. I'm more relaxed. Like, social interactions and things like that is just easier in the weight room for me. And like, people that know me outside of that can kind of attest, like, I'm a pretty quiet, like, laid back guy. But then, like, athletes that see me in the weight room would probably disagree with that. So
I like that. I like that you said that. It's, I think, being comfortable in the weight room and being yourself. I mean, personally for myself, I would agree 100% with that. Like, I feel the most comfortable when I've got, when weights are clanging and banging, man. And you know, you're on the floor, you're talking with the athletes, you're connecting with them and everything like that. I think that in itself, the athletes will see, I mean, you being a former athlete, you see something like that, boy, you're going to probably come in there with a little bit more energy and get excited to be coached by, you know, Coach Jones and stuff like that. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of the goal. Especially like, basically everywhere I've gone, I had to work with track in some capacity. And I understand, like, those type of athletes especially kind of can be anti-weight room. Yeah. So getting them just kind of at least enjoy coming in, like walking in the door, right? Yeah. Whether you like the exercise, the fact that you're squatting today and your legs feeling heavy, that's a completely other thing. But having the mentality is like, well, I'm at least excited to interact or see my coach when I walk in is something that I try to provide them.
I think that's great, man. And just being able to bridge the gap with them and educating them, like you said, how do you do that with the athletes? Is it more of just like, hey, this is kind of why we're doing something like that? Because I don't know if this was happening with you or has happened with you in your career, but I would always get a lot of questions. I'm like, hey, coach, why are we back squatting today or something like that? Is that kind of how you're educating them, or how are you educating the athletes?
Yeah, that's the main thing. Especially at the beginning of a session, if I have time for it, no, I'll go over, this is the basic points. So this is the lift. This is why we're doing it. This is why the set and rep scheme is the way it is. And then also, like, acknowledging, like, all right, I know that we're doing a lot of volume this week, so you guys are going to be sore. Let me tell you that I know you're going to be sore. Okay. So if you come to me like, oh man, these squats got me sore, this got me sore, I'm like, I know, I'm not going to change it. Like, I understand that this was a part of the process for now, and there's a reason why that we're doing it, and I'm not overly concerned about how sore you are at this phase.
I like that you talked about, you described the process with them. That's what I think of, a lot of athletes want to understand. It's like, all right, like you said, like, I know I'm going to, like, you told me I'm going to be sore today, but like, what's the process of, like, the outcome of this and everything like that too, as well. I think if you're able to express that to the athletes over time, shoot, they're going to be even more bought into, like, all right, listen, Coach Jones told me I'm going to be sore, but it's going to lead to X outcome. And then two, maybe, I think a track and field, like a sprinter or something like that, or 400 runner, they got a better time, then they do better on meet day. You're like, oh, guess what? It worked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All comes down to the result. So I can say what I want and have as much like education behind me, but if they flop on the court or the field or the track, then they're going to look at me like, you don't know what you're talking about. So.
Yeah. That to me is the hardest thing, is sometimes when you don't know if things are going to work, or when it doesn't work and you're like, crap. But sometimes it's like, all right, well, now I know that doesn't work, so we can kind of try something else new. Have you kind of run into that too?
Yeah. Definitely a few different times. So, but I think it helped that I at least explained, like, this was the goal. And then, you know, talking to like either a mentor or somebody else, I'm like, how come this didn't work? And then they can explain it to me. Yeah. And then when I talk to the athletes again, you know, if they want to have, like, they might be upset about certain things, like, hey, listen, I know this didn't work out. Moving forward, I'm going to change X, Y, and Z because this might help us moving forward. And, but then also educate them on their side, like, make sure that you're taking care of yourself outside of the weight room, so that way we can actually yield a certain result, because I can know what I maybe didn't do, but I also don't know what you're doing outside of here that might have affected your progress.
What is that old saying, like, I can handle this 1 hour. You got to be able to help with the other 23 hours outside of the weight room.
Exactly, yeah.
That to me is like, if you can ingrain that within your athletes, like you'll probably get, what is it, the rule of a third? A third of them will do it, a third of them will halfway do it, and a third of them won't do it at all, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that we kind of see with that. But as far as when it comes to, training athletes, obviously every sport, every athlete's a little bit different, but I'm sure as yourself, like you have probably principles or things that you have found to be successful. What's kind of made you more successful as far as training athletes?
So there's always gonna be a focus on just technical proficiency before we do anything else. And then intent. Those are like the two things that I try to drive home with people or with the athletes here. It's like, all right, these are the cues for a squat. This is how I want you to set your feet up. Right. If we're doing a back squat, I might want your feet a little bit outside of your hips. Then tell them like we're trying to recruit more of the glute and the hamstring, right? Trying to develop your hips a little bit more. So these are the things you need to focus on doing the back squat this way. And then explain it in a simple enough way so that way whoever their lifting partner is or training partner is, they can see the same thing. Because what I've found is that athletes want to be coached. But at the same time, if I'm one on 50, then I can't coach everybody the way they need to be coached. I can give out general cues from what I'm seeing in the room. But having like maybe somebody that's doing the lift with them, kind of being in their ear the whole time, might be more beneficial for a certain athlete opposed to another. And then the intent is another thing I try to drive home. So whether we're doing a body weight exercise or working up to like a max effort type of movement, then the intent needs to be the same every single time. And I try to drive that home. And now that being here at Marquette, the fact that we have different technology and things that we can use to show them like you're not being intentional with this lift because you're moving at whatever meters per second and you're in a red screen versus being in a green screen. So
Yeah, that gives them that automatic feedback, right? Of being like, hey, listen, this is where I need you to be, but you're over here. Like, either A, I'm like, we got to fix something in here, or B, we got to fix something with you. What's going on right now? You know what I mean? So
right.
I think getting that feedback's huge from the athletes. I found that with like being at the lower level, it's like when you don't have the technologies like that, it's like maybe it's a video. Like I would do a ton of videos and stuff like that too as well. But
Yeah.
I love that you talked about the technical side. The lost art. Sometimes people just want to throw the weight on. It's like, listen, we got to be able to do some, we got to get from point A to point C, but we got to do A first before we can get to C, right?
Exactly. I think
So
that's
do
like the hardest thing though. Like people
yeah.
just want to just like the ego gets in the way and it's like, oh, I'm not lifting as much as the person next to me. He's like, because you're not as good at this lift as the person next to you. So let's
Yeah.
improve your ability at this lift, and then we'll see what your strength gains look like after that.
Man, I couldn't agree with you more. That's a great way of putting it. It's like, listen, they're just better at the lift than you are and stuff like that. How does that, I mean, I think back into like sports, I think like a football example. It's like some people are just better at pass pro than you are. You
Yeah.
can, I mean, that's a great, I'm gonna steal that from you, man. That's a great analogy and something good to give to the athletes because that's so true. It's like everybody learns just a little bit differently. It's funny, my wife and I were talking about this, our son, he picks things up so fast and you're like, oh my gosh, like, but then other kids you'll see at his same age, either he's not developed into it or they've developed into it a little bit sooner or vice versa, whatever it is, right? It's like we all learn so differently. And I love that you talked about that earlier of like, I'm going to give you the cues that you need to make your lift better, right? And giving them the general cues and not giving them so much of coach diarrhea talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's
That's
important.
yeah. And actually Sylvie, like he beat that into my head for sure. Like metaphorically, obviously, but but it was one of those things is like you gotta figure out like three simple cues that you can say in between a set that the athletes will understand. You don't have to give all three, but you have to limit it to three, basically, because they're not going to remember if you say like 20 different things to them, or you try to over-explain it and try to get too cute with it. So like try to show like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. I'm smart. I'm gonna use all these terms that I understand, but you might not, just to prove to you that like that's not the goal. The goal is them to get the movement down. So keep it simple as possible and short and effective.
Boy, coaches are listening. That's probably the best advice you could listen to right there. It's just like, keep it simple, man. Like, you don't need to get super duper fancy with it. Did you learn? I know personally myself, I learned that from just working at smaller schools where you have a little bit less, right? You got to work with what you have in front of you. It's like, well, can they do a push-up really well? It's like, can we put a band on their back or something like that? It's like, we don't have to get all fancy and cute and everything, but did you kind of learn that just from working your way up through the different places that you worked at? Obviously I'm very familiar with a lot of them.
Yeah. I think that's a very fair statement to make. Like the less you have, the less you can do to a certain degree, but you also have to get creative and also go back to what basic movements that you can do.
Yeah.
And I do believe like just the smaller schools and the coaches that have had to work like Division II or NAIA and maybe not have a lot of funding or resources, they understand that better than anybody else. And that was definitely passed down to me.
Yeah. And you learn to work with less, but like you said, being creative, I think as a coach, you've got to be massively creative. And like you kind of already alluded to it, it's like, I'm going to be creative and we're going to have intent behind our exercises and everything like that. Can you talk about just the intent side of it again a little bit? I mean, I know you kind of said like, well, now you're at Marquette, you've got able to have some technology, some feedback and everything like that, but maybe some ways that you were able to give them that intent of being able to like push it forward. Cause I'm sure from day one that they don't understand, but after a few weeks and stuff like that, can you kind of go into that?
Yeah. So like if we're doing something, whether it's for speed or for maybe it's like a max effort or it's like a repetitive effort type of thing, for the speed, I would just basically tell them like, if you stick or slow down at this point, then it was too heavy. And then I would basically just be walking up and down the room and I would just point out and call out at least loudly enough that more than one person heard it, like that was too slow or that wasn't good enough. And then you just see like heads turn like, all right, maybe I need to go down and wait so he doesn't say that to me. But then it also kind of gave the person at the rack to give them some feedback too, to be like, hey, I think that was too slow. Or they might call me and be like, did you see his last rep? Was that too slow? Was that fast enough?
Right.
And then with the max effort stuff, it's easier. But also trying to give him like, you got to leave like one or two in the tank, trying to give him like that type of analogy. Like how many do you think you could have done after that set? And if I see it, I'm like, you probably could have done like five more reps than that. And we just did a single. So why did you go so light? Right. And then with when we're doing like high volume type of stuff, that one is tricky because people are always concerned like how they're going to feel like the next day or if they're doing a high rep exercise and towards the beginning of the lift, how they're going to feel towards the end.
Right.
And just trying to preach that, like, hey, don't focus on what you need to focus on, be where your feet are at, so to speak. And then, like, trust me enough that I'm not going to run you guys into the ground. So we need to push here.
What I love that you talked about that, like focusing right then in the here and now with giving them that intent side, were you able to see more like that intent side because you were saying, hey, just focus on this one exercise right now, and then we'll worry about the rest of the workout.
Yeah, in some cases that would definitely work.
Yeah.
And others, like, they're so concerned about, like, everything else going on and right. Not what's going on in the weight room. And that's, I think that's probably been, like, the toughest thing for me to figure out. Just being young and not having, like, a ton of experiences, it's been really, like, tough as far as, like, the people side. To get right. them out of their own head. So I tend to like either like joke around or like kind of, I get to know them enough that like I can push like a certain button to like trigger them to get into like, all right, like I'm just going to shut you up here and I'm just going to do it just so you can stop talking. I'm like, right. That's good. That's all good with me.
Steve, I think the psychology side of it is so fascinating when it comes into strength conditioning for exactly what you said. Like you never really know what's going on between the years fully. And it's like, yep. as a, have you found as a coach, is it just building that relationship up is where you can kind of better understand the athlete, obviously?
Yeah, I think it's that, just building a relationship with them, like caring enough to like ask them about like how they're doing or where they're from, or just like really like small talk with them when you have the chance. Obviously, you don't want to do that the entire like session, because then you're just going to, you know, maybe waste some time. But like before or after, as kids are coming in, that would probably be a good time to do it. And then also being vulnerable with them, like letting them know like mistakes or things that you're not good at. Like I've kind of been working with like all the teams since I've been here, and with some of the basketball players, like I'll like talk to them, like, you know, try to push them the best I can. And then it's always a go-to for like any athletes, like, can you like beat me at my sport? And it's like, no, I can't, but you're in the weight room right now and I cannot lift you. So what I'm saying right now.
Oh man, that's so true. Got to keep them in check sometimes, right? They got to know, yeah. they got to know what's going on. So you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I heard some max effort, dynamic effort stuff. Do you kind of lean more towards the conjugate programming side of things, or where do you kind of lean as far as programming wise? What have you found, what have you found to be successful for yourself?
The conjugate style has definitely been more successful of recent. But I think before when I started, I think I just did linear, and then end up trying to do block, and I think I just like screwed up undulating, if I'm being honest, when I think back on it. But then with Sylvie basically like educating me on like West Side Barbell, and then the conjugate training, like concurrent training, just like what it is.
Yeah.
And then doing it with my own training, and I started seeing some results and like understanding why the results were coming. I started just to do that with the athletes in a different type of way. And then seen some pretty decent results with that. So
that's pretty cool. Yes. Sylvie on the podcast talked about that, like just switching over and like seeing like, okay, I'm going to try this out with the athletes and see if it works. And it sure enough, they found great results there at Mary. I think the conjugate system's awesome. What I love the most about it is the technical proficiency, which you talked about earlier, and the speed work. Like in speed work, I love that. I think that to me is like, yeah, max effort stuff's cool, seeing people, you know, hit a one rep max. But like for me, I love the speed work. I don't know about you. The speed work is, I found to be very beneficial.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That I think that like helped improve like all my lifts, for sure. And also saw it's more fun for me to do. is it something about it when like you just on like a running clock, like 45 seconds or a minute, and you just going and you got 10 sets or 12 sets of two, and you hit like a certain point where it's like, this sucks. But it's also, it's just enjoyable to do to compete against yourself in that type of way.
It's funny you say that. It was like a couple months ago, I was doing like a 10x2, and it was one of my first sessions doing speed work in a long time. And I got to like set 4, 5, whatever. And I just remember being like, look at the clock. And I'm like, this sucks, man. Like, this is awful. And then afterwards, you're just like, I got my hands, you know, over my face. I'm like, what did I just do to myself? Why did I put myself through this pain and misery?
Right.
It's so funny. But man, Jamal, this has been a lot of fun being able to talk to you and everything on the podcast and everything. You know, if people want to reach out to you, maybe they want to get in contact with you, how can they contact you?
So as far as my Instagram, it'd be Coach Jamal Jones. And then on my Twitter, it's Coach Jones 93. And then somebody wants to like shoot me an email, it's jamal.jones@marquette.edu.
Perfect. People, make sure you reach out to Jamal. You're a great coach. This has been a wonderful conversation, obviously, before, and then now here on the podcast and everything. But, you know, before we get you out of here, I got to hit you on the last question of the day, man. What are you grateful for?
I'm mainly grateful for just good mentors and people that have been in my life that have helped guide me. I've made it hard on certain people, just being stubborn or not getting out of my own way. And the fact that people would notice that or see that and not just give up right away and instead try to help me out of that situation is something that I'm forever grateful for. And I wouldn't be at the university that I'm at right now without that. So,
listen, man, a lot of hard work went into that for sure on your end. And it's always great to have good mentors, man. That's awesome that you shout those people out. Jamal, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. Like I said, fellow Kansas Cityan, I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see the future on what's going on with Marquette University. I mean, I've been a fan of Marquette since Dwayne Wade back in the day. Yep. And now that I got, you know, Coach Jones there, now I got another reason to be cheering for him and stuff like that. So thank you.
Gosh, I appreciate you, man. It's very much an honor to be on the pod. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, hey, everybody, make sure you reach out to him. Make sure you follow him. See what they're doing at Marquette. And everybody, stay strong.